You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyreek Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Muted.
This is what we get when Corey's not here. Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Game Day Eve. Nick, I know you're driving to Jacksonville to fly to Mississippi. Jordan, how's everything with you, brother?
Everything's going well, man. Blessed, happy to be here, grateful for another day. Hopefully my Gators can make me proud, and Monday I'll be wearing that orange helmet behind me. But until then, it's to be determined, fellas.
To be determined, but...
cobwebs at this point.
Right? There's definitely maybe plenty of cobwebs.
Maybe. All right, boys, we're going to talk a little bit of coaching search towards the end today, but the Gators are going to play Ole Miss tomorrow, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But before we do that, we want to thank our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. They are former attorneys that used to work, or they are currently attorneys. They were attorneys for the insurance side, and now they are fighting against the insurance companies for you. So anything, rain damage, water damage, hurricane, storm damage, pipes, whatever it might be, where you need to go toe for toe, pound for pound, M for M, whatever you want to say against the insurance company, the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group is going to be the folks that will help you. So go visit them at dykusburkelaw.com, or you can give them a call at 727-258-0043. So again, we thank our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. And we will get started. Gators Ole Miss tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Central time there in Oxford, Mississippi. Ole Miss 9-1. Florida, of course, 3-6. Ole Miss, just two games left for them to try to earn their first playoff berth in their school's history. And Florida trying to play spoiler while also trying to steal their head coach. Gentlemen, your thoughts on this game. Nick, we'll start with you, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited. It'll be my second trip to Oxford, but the first one was weird. 2020, that was Kyle Pitts coming out party. But no Grove. It's a really interesting dynamic because y'all, Florida fans, have been absolutely at Ole Miss's neck. For a month now, and it seems as if they're starting to crack a little bit. Saw some people tweeting pictures yesterday with shirts that said, "Just here to see our next head coach." So I'm interested in that.
Choo-choo!
I'm interested in that dynamic. Excited to see Mississippi, Oxford kind of do its thing. Walk around the Grove, hope to see some Gator fans there. In terms of the football game, The team that came out and played last week will get absolutely rolled in Oxford. You have to think that, too, the guys that are left from last year's team, Florida played spoiler. Florida slammed the door on Ole Miss playoff chances last year. Have to believe they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. The team that showed up, the Gators showed up in Lexington, will get rolled if they show up like that in Oxford. So I still think talent-wise, roster-wise, Florida has the talent to win any Saturday. But not if you show up like you did last week. So I don't know that I'll pick Florida to win this week. But I do think it wouldn't shock me if they figured out a way to win, muddy it up a little bit, and win this week. But confidence level, not super high.
Nick, your microphone is trailing off. Jordan, what are your thoughts, brother?
Yeah, man, I feel like as we really just look back on the season, I think everybody can say we've been playing to our competition level week in and week out. When we're playing a bad team, besides LIU maybe, we're playing a bad team, I think we tend to stoop down to their level of competition and play like that, which is example like last week in Kentucky. And I feel like when we play a team like Georgia, we rise to the occasion and actually give them a fight. You know what I'm saying? So call me crazy, but I think we will actually give these guys a game this week. Sad to say, it'll be interesting to see, but I think we'll go out there and fight, man. I feel like a lot of these guys will probably be fighting just because Lane's over there on the other side. They probably want to show them what they're all about. Obviously, the coaches are going to be trying to coach their butts off to keep their job, even though it's not even there anymore. So I feel like people fighting, you know what I'm saying? And I won't be surprised if this is a good ball game when it's all said and done.
Perfect. Corey, welcome. Just getting started, man. Appreciate you. What are your thoughts on this game? Obviously, I know it's Florida's looking to play spoiler. So what are your thoughts on this game tomorrow?
Yeah, my hopes aren't high. I don't you know, after watching last week, I don't foresee them pulling out a win on the road. We're going back on the road. This team has struggled on the road this entire regime. So I don't expect that to change. And also, I just don't think it's as smooth as a lot of us have said and thought it was in the locker room. And a lot of that energy, I don't think it's going to fix itself this week, you know, with the offense and the struggles that we've had with executing and the offense going vertical and fixing some things in the pass game, run blocking schemes. I just don't see us fixing any of that. We had a bye week, probably, you know, that we could clean some stuff up, but I just don't foresee that happening. I'd be surprised if we kept it a game. I think Lane comes in and try to blow us out, to be honest with you.
Okay. Jordan, I want to get your thoughts. Obviously, there's a lot of talk and discussion right now. Lane Kiffin certainly has kind of avoided talking about the subject, said that, you know, it's something that he'll think about later. How do you think if you're playing at Ole Miss and your coach is kind of the talk of the town, a lot of rumors that he's going to potentially head to Florida or, you know, head out of the program, how do you think that might affect the locker room?
I think it definitely have a big effect on the locker room. I think also what plays a big role into it is how is his energy. Has his energy and his just the way he's been going about things changed since these rumors have started? Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of people are good at reading people and knowing – if this guy's checked out or not. So I feel like that's what the players are kind of looking for, maybe to see if he's changing and seeing if he's kind of one foot in and one foot out. And by the way, he's denying talking about it and stuff like that. I think he's handling it like a pro and doing it the right way in that. Just respecting his team and saying, hey, listen, I can't stop other people from trying to get me. I heard him say one time, that's what happens when you put good stuff on tape. That's what happens when you are a good coach and you have a good football team. Things like this are going to happen. So I think he's covering himself up on all those bases as far as his team still believing that he's fully in it because he's still with the guys and he's still talking to the media as such, like he's still fully locked in. So
yeah,
definitely a tough thing to be around though, because you almost look at it, especially if you're a younger guy in there, let's just say you're a true freshman playing or something like that, or a sophomore, you're almost a little bit hurt in that, like, because you know what it is. You know he's going to eventually – if he's not going to Florida, he's going somewhere unless you guys win the national championship. And that's probably still iffy if he'll stay or not. But we shall see.
Just tough, man. Like, regardless of, like, leaving, like, the quarterback, that offense in Oxford has been humming. And the way our defense has started to play of late, you know, they replicate last week. Regardless of the locker room situation, like, I think those guys are focused on the playoffs regardless of what Lane got going on. It's just a focus level. They got some distractions for sure. Mm-hmm. But I just don't – maybe if we were a team, you know, rah-rah fighting for whatever it may be, but I don't see us as a team right now that's locked in trying to prove anything. think these guys are just coasting along a little bit, trying to figure out their next situation for the most part. Yeah, I hope I'm wrong. I hope we can spoil and speed up Lane's process a little bit if we knock them out of the playoffs or something. I hope that's the case, but I just don't foresee it.
Corey, I think the word on the street is the timeline is what it is, regardless, win or loss. So we'll see, right? We'll talk about that a little bit more towards the end here. Gators again struggling with some injuries. Eugene Wilson out for the rest of the season. I think we talked about that on Monday, but Eugene Wilson's out. Obviously, Dallas Wilson's out. Ty Jackson, LJ McCray, Aaron Gates, Mike Caraway Jr., Jacoby Jackson, Dejon Johnson, Javion Toombs, and Rod Kearney all out for this game. Probable Miles Graham and Vernell Brown the third. Keith or Corey brought up an interesting point that Vernell Brown still hasn't scored a touchdown this season. So would love, you know, he's obviously had a great freshman campaign. Would love to see him get a touchdown this game. And then Caleb Bates moves from out to doubtful. Don't expect him to play tomorrow, but there might be some word on the street that he might try to come back from the Tennessee game. Nick?
Yeah, that one's interesting to me because when he had this foot injury when he was in high school, re-injured it around the springtime, and then obviously has surgery or is trying to rehab it, hurts it against LSU, and then has surgery. Thought it was going to be a season ender. I think this is just a case of a guy, wanting to finish his college career on his own terms and play with his guys a couple more games. And then two, whatever you can put on tape the last two games to help your draft stock, because he is a fifth-year senior. But hats off to him. I don't know if I'm his, I don't know if I'm his agent, if I love it, but I love that competitive nature and then the loyalty to the guys in the locker room as well.
Yeah. What team do you think shows up tomorrow? Obviously, we've not played well on the road. Do you think it's the Georgia, Texas type team? Do you think it's the Kentucky team, Miami team? Which team do you think it is?
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's like that little segment too where it's like 10 to 7. I think Billy Gonzalez said this, but it kind of felt like it, you know, sitting in the stadium as well. When it was like 10-7, and then you get interception, they score, fumble, they score, and all of a sudden, like really quickly, the game got out of hand. I think then you're just kind of going through the motions at some point. I think you need to keep it close. This is a huge test for Florida's secondary, because Trinidad Chambliss can throw the ball around. Lane's a great Nexus nose, great game planner, play caller. I think Charlie Weiss and Lane, I'm not sure who's actually calling the plays on game day, whether it's Charlie Weiss Jr.
I think he is.
You think Charlie is or Lane?
I think it's a mixture of both, but I think Charlie has a bigger role, because I know that when Florida reached out to him this past offseason, he thought it was going to be a downgrade in responsibility.
So they can get it rolling, get it humming, and you're still really thin at cornerback without Danny Johnson. So you've got Devin Moore, Carmani, and then Javari Flowers and Castell Hanks, Castell Thornton. It just gets young, and they will run tempo, and they will throw the ball, spread the field out. So it's going to be a huge test for Florida's defense to kind of match up against Lane Kiffin and Charlie West Jr.
Yeah, right now, Ole Miss 11.5-point favorites in this one. Corey, which team do you think shows up?
What was the open on that, Dan?
What's the over?
No, open.
Open 13.5. It's gone to 12.5. It's gone all the way up to 16. Sunday. It's down to 11.5. 16 just seemed too high, regardless. That's a lot of points to give. Even if you think Ole Miss is going to win, it's just a lot of points. So that's kind of gone up and down. Let's see. Actually, I have it here. Yeah, opened at 15.5, went all the way to 16, and then over the last day it's gone to 15.5, 14.5, 13.5, and now 11.5. Over under 53.5, money line right now, UF plus 360. If you're feeling confident.
Yeah, Jordan texted all of us. He said on Monday, he goes, Florida money line all day.
Yeah. throw the mortgage down. Just a couple of names here. Obviously, Trinidad Chambliss is their quarterback from Ferris State, backup quarterback. Austin Simmons was the starting quarterback, got injured, and Trinidad Chambliss has put together not quite a Heisman-worthy season, but definitely somebody that was in consideration and has done unbelievable, which I think just shows how good Lane Kiffin is not only identifying talent, but also developing that talent. But right now is throwing 64% on the year, 2,353 yards, 8.9 yards per attempt, 13 touchdowns to just 2 interceptions on the year. So he's gonna sling the ball. Some people that you need to look out for on Ole Miss's receiving core is Harrison Wallace the third. He's their leading receiver. Deuce Alexander is second. Daquan Wright, the tight end, is third on the team, and Caden Lee is fourth. But they have 6 receivers that have, we'll say, 300. One, Winston Watkins, is 298. But so they're going to sprinkle the ball to a lot of different folks. 17 touchdowns through the air, and I'm not so much worried about Devin Moore, but it's the safety play that just hasn't been great this season that really has me worried about Trinidad Chambliss and in his core of receivers there.
Very nice. Cool.
Not
well. Nice. That's no. I think it's really impressive because. Well, one, I think Austin Simmons should play baseball. No CTE. He's a legit prospect baseball. But I think it's super impressive what Lane Kiffin has been able to do. You lose the guy who you spent time last year getting reps behind Jackson Dart because he was going to be the future. And then all of a sudden, right. The future quarterback is now the present, and the present gets hurt. And you've got a kid from Ferris State who – I've had people correct me. He was very good at Ferris State. Ferris State was very good. Ferris State is not the SEC. And to be able to take a kid, your plan B, and continue to have the season you have. And like you said, Dan, there's not a guy you can kind of like target and say, like, hey, let's game plan around him, because they do sprinkle the ball around and really spread it out so effectively.
Yeah. You know, and certainly another thing to look out for rushing wise, Kewon Lacy, 912 yards rushing on the season on 200 attempts. It's a 4.5 yards per attempt, 16 touchdowns, just 1 fumble on the season. But here it comes again. Trinidad Chambliss, second on the team, 455 yards rushing. And we know that through the entire tenure of this Billy Napier coaching staff, they've struggled with that dual threat quarterback. So he's had 100 attempts rushing the ball, averaging 4.6 yards per, 3 touchdowns, or pardon me, 6 touchdowns, 3 fumbles. So Florida's going to have to figure out a way, and I just don't know with the linebacking group and the safety group if they're prepared fully to contain and protect the ball through the air. I'm just concerned, very concerned.
Yeah, the lack of adjustments last week, just I have no hope in Ron Roberts adjusting anything. It appeared, and I could be wrong, it just appeared from a checked out perspective that the defensive staff was checked out as well, like from a preparation, watching Kentucky march the ball up and down the field like they never marched the ball up and down the field before. It just seemed like something was missing. Either our defense wasn't checked in and still dialed in to the task, or, you know, we didn't prepare right from a defensive scheme, you know, being able to adjust with what Kentucky had brought to the table, because their quarterback isn't nearly as good. Their offense isn't nearly as good as Ole Miss. We're still on the road. That audience is going to be a little bit more feisty and rowdy, considering all the elements around the game. Yeah, I just don't see it, man. I hope we win, but we win regardless. We win. If we lose, we win. If we win, we win.
Yeah, that's right. We lost Nick. Jordan, we'll be right back. Let's get to the defensive side of the ball, just so you guys are familiar with some names. Princewell Umemelin, the younger brother of Princely, leads the team in sacks with 5. Will Eccles 4, Cam Franklin, 4, Xavier Harris, 4. So definitely a team with 26 sacks on the season. Can definitely get after the quarterback. And obviously Florida has struggled at times this season on the offensive line. 18 quarterback hits, 110 quarterback hurries. So definitely going to be a tough game on the offensive line. And again, a game where DJ Lagway is going to need to step up and figure out ways to, the offense is going to need to call plays to be able to get the ball out quickly where they can, you know, hopefully move the ball and run their game. Obviously limiting turnovers is going to be huge for this team. Just running through a little bit more here. I'm trying to see if I can get, let's get some interceptions and stuff. Just 5 interceptions for the team for Ole Miss this year. Wydett Williams has 2. Cedric Beavers, Suntarine Perkins, and Xavier Harris, all have an interception as well. If you're going to throw the ball, the target you could go after is linebacker TJ Daughtry, who's allowed 80% of the passes against him. He's a linebacker. Sage Ryan has allowed 74.1% of the passes against him. Not a lot of clamp down, it doesn't seem. I guess Wydett Williams, their safety, is their best in coverage there, which allowing just 47.1% against him. So, again, it's going to be a tough matchup on both sides of the ball. I'll give Lane Kiffin, Pete Golding, Charlie Weiss Jr., a lot of credit. This is not a team that was expected to be a playoff contender when this season started, and now they are looking like they're humming on both sides of the ball. It's a team that is.
Humming, not yeah.
Humming this season. We're about to get humped tomorrow. Let's see. This season, tough fight over Kentucky. They won 30-23. They beat Arkansas by 6, 41-35. They beat LSU 24-19. Washington State, they snuck one out 24-21. Their lone loss on the year is a 35-43 loss against Georgia. Close game against Oklahoma that they won by 8. South Carolina, they beat by 16. And then Citadel last week, they won 49-0. So a lot of close games. They've allowed a lot of points on defense. They scored, obviously, a ton of points on offense. So, you know, it's just going to be a matter of what team shows up. And, you know, is this a situation where Florida can play spoiler and they don't have the same noise in their locker room that Ole Miss has? You know, there may be, you know, a bunch of the players reading and excited about the prospects and, you know, trying to play well to try to earn those good reps. Or, you know, again, you know, last year they were able to play spoiler and, you know, right now they have the opportunity to do so again against Ole Miss this week and then Tennessee next week. So it doesn't sound like any of us are super confident in a win this weekend, but you know,
I'm winning this weekend regardless, Daniel.
You want to get I guess we're not gonna do over. Jordan, do you think Florida's gonna win?
Not really, but I think
okay.
Put it right. Yeah. Because well, I can't lie, even like dated back to last year when we played them. Look, Rick. Being honest, it's just a normal football guy, not a Gator fan. They were supposed to win that ball game. They missed a lot of explosive plays. A lot of deep balls were dropped, and that was played in our favor. You feel what I'm saying? We barely beat them. So if they can connect on maybe just half of those opportunities that they missed last year, it can get ugly real fast. So,
yeah, and that's – I mean, you look back at last season, Jackson Dart threw, 3 interceptions? I think 2 of them counted in the last couple minutes of the game. You still won, right? You still had to put yourself in a position to win and have more points in the scoreboard at the end of the day, no matter how many interceptions that he threw towards the end of the game. This just – Trinidad Chambliss has just not turned the ball over. He's had a couple fumbles, but 13 touchdown passes, just 2 interceptions on the year. It's going to be a tall task.
Going through everything, but do you think the Gator defense gets a turnover?
I think so.
Yeah, I think we're capable of that. I think we can do that. Because, like I said, I feel like we play to our competition, and I feel like we know they know that they got to bring it coming against these guys. But my only problem is we don't play too well on the road. And I don't know if that's a player thing or is that a coach thing and why we don't play well on the road. You know what I'm saying? So I guess that's what we'll find out this weekend is if we play well on the road. Obviously, Kentucky, we showed that we don't play well on the road. So
I mean, the fact that they've, I think, won 5 road games in 4 years is enough of a stat for me to just.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. There's 3 games left, right? You fired your coach. Like, I don't expect massive changes or, you know, really anything other than maybe they can put together 60 good minutes, not turn the ball over, make good decisions, and just play hard. I just – what I saw last week was I think the team tried. I think that – but I just didn't see the fire and energy. And I don't know if that Georgia game just kind of took the wind out of their sails. But theoretically, you still have a chance at a bowl game. Do I think it happens? Probably not, right? But you still have 3 more games. You have 3 chances to win. You have 2 chances to play spoiler. And then you have Florida State.
Yeah, I just don't see it happening, man. I hope for the best. I'm a Gator through and through. But just from a leadership standpoint, you know, I don't think the leadership from the leader on the field and the leader of the play, who calling the plays, I don't think they're on the same page. From a chemistry and just, you know, energy standpoint, I don't think they're on the same page. I don't see us scoring enough points to be able to keep up with what Lane got going in Oxford. So I just don't see it. And
I mean, I guess you can kind of – that makes sense because realistically, who is our leaders on this team? A guy that's hurt, Caleb Banks, Tyreek Sapp.
Offense.
None. They're puppies. Lagway by default, but they're puppies. Second year guys.
Yeah. I don't think it's clicking between the play caller and our you know, on the surface, on paper leader of the offense. I don't think they're on the same page.
As our offensive leader, I don't see it being Lagway. No disrespect in the quarterback. I'm just more saying, like, I feel like he hasn't shown it, and he – yeah, I just got to call a spade a spade. I don't feel like he's the offensive leader. I think that's part of the problem with his team. And while we go and get our head beating on the road, it's because we just don't have that leader that's willing to pull us through and get us through adversity. Kind of, I think everybody kind of just turns and looks at each other once stuff hits the fan, once things don't go good. And
I think, here's the thing, Jordan, like the perceived leader in the offseason to head into the season was DJ, right? You start to lose games on the offensive side of the ball. And if the perceived leaders, as far as the play caller, the offense, whoever the head in that side of the ball, and the quarterback who's the perceived leader on the field, if those two not clicking, the rest of the locker room is going to be looking around like, I don't know, bro. Like, you're missing leadership. Because at the top, if the quarterback and the play caller aren't on the same page, quarterback and the head coach aren't on the same page from the beginning of the season, I think we're seeing a lot of that play out on the field.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no, and that chemistry is really important. And then obviously you throw a new play caller in there 2 games ago. It's just going to be different communication, the play calling, everything else. Just there's probably still a lot of – there's a, probably a lack of comfort on both sides, right, both from Florida side and DJ Lagway side. And there's just not much, right? I mean, you fired the coach. I mean, what else are we going to say? This is a season that everything's going to be evaluated this offseason. You know, whether he's here or not, whether Lane Kiffin is Florida's head coach or not, whether whoever, you know, Florida's going to be in an offseason of evaluation. There's just not much more that we can expect or anticipate through the rest of this year other than trying to get good guys snaps and, you know, the opportunity for some of these guys to play, you know, the end of their college careers and hopefully end, you know, with something to hang their hat on because it's just this season just didn't go the way anybody thought it would. From us to the national media, to coaches, to players, to people that are watching. So
I think we all kind of wanted the offensive coordinator and could see it going this way if we didn't make that change. I think even national media, they kind of set the stage of the talent's there. Florida's really good talent-wise. We'll see what it does as far as executing on the offense side of the ball. But we're beating a dead horse at this point.
Yeah, no, we are. So we've got that game tomorrow, 7 p.m. In Oxford. Nick, you've been to Ole Miss before?
Yeah, I was there in 2020, so sort of.
Okay, you know, COVID time. So it's your first time seeing the Grove in full.
Bars were open, but yeah, the Grove was empty.
So this will be your first time going to see the Grove in its full, the Velvet Ditch.
Are you walking around in Gator gear or are you walking around in neutral colors? Are you scared?
Brother, yeah, I grew up a Gator fan, spent 11 years not being able to wear Gator gear. We are in Gator gear.
Okay, okay.
With the collective, we're in Gator gear. If they sell Lane merchandise, I might buy some Lane merchandise while in the square.
You should have gotten an orange and blue shirt that says, "We want to poach your coach."
Yeah. Take me to your leader.
Yeah.
Take me to your leader.
That's crazy.
For sure.
Take me to your leaders. That would have been a great episode if we titled these Game Day Eves. I'm just going to do it anyway. You know what I mean? Why not?
There's no rules, no regulations.
I need something to bring me happiness.
They're starting to like reality starting to set in Oxford, man. It's been beautiful to watch, bro. There's been a lot of arrogance coming out of that part, but they're starting to remind themselves that they are in Mississippi. It's starting to set in.
The tenor of the internet over the last week from the Ole Miss faithful has really gone down a slippery slope, and we're about to reach terminal velocity on this avalanche fall of collapse of the Ole Miss fan base. If everything that we're hearing is true, and you know, I think it's important to know that until something is signed and there's an introduction, anything can happen. But I'll tell you very fervently, I sent you guys the text yesterday that Florida feels exceptionally confident landing their first choice of head coach.
Very nice.
I mean,
bro, if and when it goes down, like straight pandemonium from Gator Nation, I believe, man, like we may still storm the Capitol in a good way.
In a good way. with pastries.
yeah. Confetti.
I think the timing would be post Egg Bowl. I don't think a playoff situation is something that you have to worry about coaching. I think Ole Miss has started to very judiciously start to look at their next options as head coach. And that could even be somebody that's on their staff now going into next season or what that might look like. But I cannot definitively say that anything has been signed, but I can tell you that Florida feels very, very confident in their head coach for next season as of today, November 14th at 10:38 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Very
time
confident.
Stamp it, man. Time stamp it, my brother.
Very confident. But until there's an introductory press conference, until the signature has been signed, until PJ is in air.
Do you think if this goes down after the Egg Bowl, what do you think the fallout is? Do you think Lane continue to coach the playoffs out there? I just think it's going to be a battle for them. And it could be.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that they're evaluating what those options could look like. Ole Miss leaders are, like I said, looking at what their options are and will be. They are looking the Ole Miss writers are talking about it. The national media mood has changed quite a bit over the next couple of days as some of this has unfolded. There's just a lot of reason to believe that this is going to happen and that Ole Miss will, should they make the playoffs, will move forward with somebody else at the helm.
This is what the whole state of Mississippi deserves. Talking greasy to my fan base.
We've not seen the situation play out though, right? Kalen DeBoer got hired at Alabama after his team was in the playoff, but that was post playoffs being over. We've never seen a coach, and this probably is not something that will happen all that often. But I almost wonder if Alex Golish from USF is a target by some school. What could happen there? Because you have early signing day, you have the transfer portal not long after that. And Alex Golish will probably, if USF makes it, they're probably a one and done team. But
he's big bank take little bank, an old fashioned big bank take little bank, and we get into historic times of, you know, sending a team into the playoffs with no coach. I like that we're making that type of history, man. Like we still win. We gonna, like, Billy set us back with some bad history, but we about to set some new history. For real. I'm talking. I'm gonna have to come out of trolling retirement, my brother.
Yeah. Corey went into troll retirement at the wrong time.
Wrong time. I'm about to get the trolling coach of greatest trolling coach of all time is coming, and I pause, and I've retired.
That's nuts.
A lot of
That's nuts.
Up troll energy there.
Yeah, it's all good.
I think Nick and the Florida Victorious team will have to upgrade their servers. Should that happen?
They gotta upgrade their seats. Are y'all in the press box? Y'all can't just be walking around Oxford with Gator stuff. Well, I'm fearing for your safety, my guy. You need me to send some help out there?
I'll be all right, bro.
Oh man,
I had Mississippi fans like sending me their seat numbers and telling me, "Hey, meet me for square."
Oh, tell them to meet at Northgate, bro. Come see me. It's a home game.
Crockpot on.
Crockpot on, man.
Oh my gosh, I don't know if Jordan knows the Corey Crockpot on lore, but
I don't.
Nah, that was crazy. I think
he got covered by what? Not World Star. Who was it?
BSO. I think it hit World Star, man. It hit a few like major outlets. I almost got fired. Thank God my boss at the time was actually a Gator alum, so he kind of got the jokes and the vibes a little bit. But that shit made it all the way to my boss's desk.
Jordan, we'll send you the article. It's hilarious.
My mother-in-law got it on Facebook. It was wild, bro. I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on here?" Anywho.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Again, game tomorrow, 7 p.m. in Oxford. Nick, fly safely. Corey, great seeing you. Jordan, great seeing you. As always, want to thank our friends over at the Dykus Burke and Lewis Law Group. Go visit them online or give them a call here at 727-258-0043. And we will see you on Monday night.